All I can say to that is, all you old timers will remember this one. Yes, we have no bananas. Amen. How many remember that old line? How many remember Chiquita Banana? I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say, bananas gotta ripen in a certain way. And, you know, you young people, hang in there. You'll be up here some of these days, you know. You know, you can, evolution, amen. All right, I'm glad to be here. And is there an echo in this thing? Or is this the way it normally sounds?
It's the way it is. It's coming.
Okay, if they're okay, I'm okay.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Appreciate being back here. I can't sneak up on you as much as the first time, because most of you were here when I was here the last time. But I'm glad to be back. I'm very proud of, in a good way, of Pastor and Miss Teresa. They're fine servants. I can tell you that this is a church, a matchup, God's design. I can tell you that. I travel all year round. All year round. I know churches just from being in so many of them. This is a very unusual church. There went after Saul, a band of men whose hearts the Lord touched. Followership is just as anointed as the leadership is. And you have a couple here that have paid the price through the years of doing their apprenticeship, working with other pastors and churches, very faithful people. And your pastor, I can't believe, for being an ex-Marine, he's so stinking smart. He tells me all these things he's doing. That's not the Marines I know. So so you've got a unique thing here, right? A lot of solid-looking people. That's what I picked up on during breakfast. So, for what that's worth, I just want to put a good plug in there to you. The Bible says, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own lips." And don't take for granted what the Lord may be wanting to do here. In other words, your pastor will go to hell and back like Audie Murphy if God told him to do it. He'd try anyway. I know the kind of guy he is. You can't find that in most churches. Just can't do it, okay? So anyway, he asked me to go over a lot of that stuff. We dealt with it at the restaurant last night. Joke. All right. The pastor asked me to give my testimony sometime this week. And, Paul gave his testimony three times in Acts. Revelation said the tribulation saints, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So your testimony can be a blessing. But I just, for some reason, I don't hardly ever give it. I maybe a blip here or a blip there, but not my whole testimony. So, blah, 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 he controls the love offering, and you know you got to do what you're told to do. By the way, I am recovering. I'm recovering from my trip here. I don't know if he told you. I flew into, supposed to go soul winning with you folks yesterday. Flew in to Friday morning into LaGuardia Airport in New York. Had a connection for Washington that was canceled because of bad thunderstorms. And then the second plane they put me on, that got canceled. And I'm telling you, neighbor, that's what we say in Tennessee. I'm from Tennessee. And they rebooked me for Saturday. And you know what a motel costs in LaGuardia Airport range, in New York City Airport area? The cheapest junk you can get is $175 a night, and then it goes up from the $250, and, you know, are you kidding me? And the pastor and I got into a little fuss over the phone because he was wanting me to get into a motel and cover it with the church, and I wouldn't let him, and back and forth. He threatened to cancel me and all the stuff. I told him to take a flying leap, you know. And listen, I'm the old school. He's in the Marines, but I grew up in New York City. The subway's a lot rougher than Quantico, Virginia, I'm telling you. And blah, blah, blah. So I spent the night in the stinking airport. Because the flight was going out. The flight they put me on was 8:30. If it was, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the next afternoon, maybe that would have been a little more different. But so I just survived the LaGuardia. That's the second time I've spent a night at an airport. Both times it's LaGuardia. And that place is sick. It's a third world airport. And long story short, I survived. They had a New York Met game on with the Milwaukee Brewers there. Rain delayed. So I'm watching that at 2 o'clock in the morning on a giant screen TV, you know, keeping an eye on everybody else around me, you know. So I just wanted you to know I'm here. You know, I survived. And all right. So let's jump into things. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we We ask you to speak to our hearts now. And Lord, Nathaniel asked in John 1, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It's a good question. I thank you that you pulled me out of a hellish existence, Lord, and I give you the praise for it. And I pray you'll bless some of these folks now with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor asked me also to touch on Catholicism a little bit this week. And I told him, I said, well, my testimony is so interwoven with Catholicism, maybe I'll try to share both of them some highlights, okay? If any of us are saved, it's a miracle, isn't it? Yes. What's the old illustration? When you get to heaven, the three biggest shocks are going to be, one, the people you see there that you didn't think were going to be there. Number two, the people you thought would be there that aren't there. And number three, the fact that what? That you're there, amen? So I hope you know that you're saved. And just saying some, mumbling some prayer one time at some youth meeting when you were a teeny bopper because everybody else went up there, that doesn't necessarily mean you're saved. You're saved if God convicted you and you knew you were lost and you know you were saved. And you don't have to be able to remember the date. That can throw you some time, but you better remember the place. You're not going to meet a celebrity in this world as men count celebrities. You met Elvis Presley in a gas station one time. You'd probably never forget that. If you're a normal person, you'd know where you were when you met him, yes. Not necessarily when. And if you can't pin down the spot when you were born again, something's wrong in Denmark.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Paul said, make your calling and election sure. Or Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Peter said, make your calling and election sure.
Amen.
Have we not done many wonderful works in thy sight? And Jesus said, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire. I never knew you. Don't tell me about all the works you did for me. I never knew you.
Yes.
A lot of religious people are heading to hell.
Yes.
So I hope you know that you're saved.
Amen.
And you better be able to share that with people. Why don't discuss that stuff? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He that
Amen.
Believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you
Amen.
Can't talk about how you got saved if somebody wants to know, you're lost as a hound dog. So I hope you know that. A lot of lost people in churches, I'm telling you. R.G. Lee said he thought 90% of the Southern Baptist Convention was unsaved. He was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention three times. J. Harold Smith thought it was 95%. He's the top evangelist they ever put out. Oliver Green said that the greatest majority of his converts in all his tent meetings come out of Baptist churches. R.A. Torrey said the professing Church of Jesus Christ is the greatest mission field in the world.
Amen.
Do you know when you get? Let me ask you a question. Sammy Allen, you know, the big evangelist down in Resaca, Georgia. You know what he used to say? And this changed my life when he said this. He said I used to ask people, when do you first remember asking Jesus to come into your heart? Right. Yeah, that's the kind of thing we grew up hearing, that phraseology. He said, one day the Lord changed his whole perspective on things. He said, now I ask people, when do you first remember having come under conviction? You ask a person that question, that'll throw half of the people you ask it to. What do you mean? Oh, I don't know. Gee, Wally. Jesus said in John chapter 8, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Conviction is when God starts to deal with you
yes.
and convicts you
yes.
that you're lost
yes.
and that you need to be saved. Then you know it. Turn to Exodus 12 real quick. I was giving this outline a lot last few months leading up to Resurrection Sunday, right? And Passover is the type of the resurrection. I mean, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, right? Here's a very interesting outline here. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year to you. That's Nisan, or their April. Our April. Speak ye unto all the congregation. Let me show you this. You ever think about how all the things in the world come in threes? Yes, no, maybe. Red light, yellow light, green light. Mother, father, child. Past, present, future, Mo, Larry, and Curly, say amen right there. I have a book out there given by inspiration on the King James Bible. I have 2.5 pages of just examples of threes. Three little bears, Hello, Manny Moe and Jack. Every joke's got three parts to it till you get to the punchline. You ever notice you got to listen to the same dumb thing three times before you get to the punchline? All the preacher's sermon outlines, 3 points in a poem. You know why that is? Genesis 1:26, the Trinity speaking, and God says, let us make man in our image.
Yes.
Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that you're a triune being, you're a body, a soul, and a spirit.
Yes.
Because you're a direct reflection of the Creator. And that's how the whole world's got everything in threes. Hey, one of the top jokes in New Jersey is how come Italians can't count to 10? It's because every time they get to 2, they run into a tree. Amen. Okay? Let me ask you a question. How many crosses were there?
Three.
Yeah. You ever see this number? You know, it's a big deal to move from a fundamentalist to a Bible believer. A fundamentalist believes in 7 things. Bible believers like Paul, they believe everything in the book. If you're a fundamentalist background, you got that blood on the door, verse 7 in Exodus 12. The blood's over here, the blood's over here, and the blood's up here, yes? And so everybody gives you the same illustration. Well, you connect the dots, right?
Amen.
You got a what?
Cross.
Yeah, that's nice, but it's like, sorry, there's no blood down on the bottom. There's no dot to connect down there. Sorry. Heard old mountain preacher say one time, the reason God did that was he didn't want you stepping over the blood. He put it up here so you go under the blood. But your type is flawed right there. I gave you a better type. What do you got here? What's it say in verse 7? Strike the blood on the two side. What's the next word? Posts. And then put the blood on the upper post. You see that? You all know what a post is? Go look it up in a Webster's 1828 English Dictionary. It says a long, sturdy, wooden post. That's what it's called. Standing upright. Whoa. Pastor, how come you don't have a cross over here? Going to mess up my whole illustration here.
On the flag.
On the flag. I'm not fighting my way up there. That breakfast killed me this morning. You got to be a psycho to make gravy like that. Nothing personal. I had one of the ladies in the church come up to me. Brother Grady, that gravy's got a little kick to it. Just wanted to warn you. Too much for me, she said. One of your people told me that this morning. Are you kidding? Are you here? Are you willing to confess? Who told me that this morning? I'm not making that up. A piece of wood. How many posts you got?
Three.
Yeah. Does that ring any bells on Calvary? And then isn't it funny that the middle cross, the middle post, that center, is higher than the other two? Does that ring any bells?
Amen.
Who knew that 3,000 years down the road that the center cross was going to be higher than the other two and was going to be the center of the whole world, whoever's going to be on that center cross?
Amen.
You know what the other word for a post is? Don't you know anything about dumb Facebook? You put a post on Facebook. When you go to mail a letter, where do you go? Go to the post office. Go look up the word post in a Webster's 1828 dictionary. It has the second definition says a written document. Piece of writing. Isn't that what they put on top of that center cross?
That's right.
In 3 languages?
That's right.
Because as Paul said in Acts 26, verse 26 to Agrippa, this thou knowest, O king, that this thing was not done in a corner. When he stepped out of that tomb Sunday morning, or 6 o'clock Saturday night, he stepped out in the center of the world. That little piece of ground, Israel, is only the size of New Jersey. A lot of you know that. You can circle the whole state in half of a day in a rented car. Those F-15 fighter jets that they buy from the United States, they can't even get those things up to full speed, Mach 2, because they run out of country after 90 seconds. You got a U-turn, north to south. It's such a little country.
Yes.
But isn't it funny how it's the only land bridge that connects Asia, Africa, and Europe? There's a little Palestine right here. There's Europe through Greece over there. There's Asia yonder through Saudi Arabia. And here's Africa down through Egypt. That little piece of ground connects the 3 generations of Noah's descendants, Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Yes.
Ham down south, Japheth that way, and Shem that way. And that's why you got, this is Jesus Christ. Don't worry about this. You get this. I know there's a glare there. I'm self-conscious, normal man. You know, ladies, your husband's 98% ego and 2% fathead. That's how God made us. Okay? And you got three languages. You got Greek in there for Japheth. You got Hebrew for Shem. And you got Latin for Ham down in Africa. This is Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. Isn't that something? And by the way, if the preacher had a cross up there, which he needs to get one, amen. If you just imagine that there's one up here for the minute, right? Did you notice if your lineage racially comes from Europe to the west of that cross? Look, you know how you write? You write left to right. If you're from this side of the cross, you write in Hebrew, ancient Chinese, ancient Sanskrit. Look, you're called an R to L. You write right to left.
Yes.
Center, post.
Amen.
See that thing?
Amen.
He's the top of everything. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes. Amen.
And by the way, you were talking about Calvinism. Hey, Calvinism, don't get into that stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, there were two thieves on the cross. One got in and one didn't. Let's say the thief on this side is the one who got in. We don't really know. But let's say he was the one that got saved, right? Look here. It would have been like this. Jesus. That one didn't get in, but the extension was still made to. And that's why you got blood on both posts. He didn't just die for one. He died for both. He died for both. And the blood on the top was because that's where your buddy was supposed to be up there, Barabbas. And so blah, blah, blah here. But I'm talking about three points in a poem. Three-point outline. Want to see one of the most beautiful little three-point outlines sitting right here? Look down at verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man. What's the next two words?
Amen.
A lamb, according to the house of their fathers. What's the next two words?
Amen.
A lamb for an house. Do you know when you first, when you were an unsaved person, the Lord Jesus was just another lamb to you? When those two thieves were initially there, they both railed on him. So he was just another criminal, just like themselves, first impression they had. Yes? Remember before you were saved? You know, the Lord wasn't anything special to you until the next verse. Verse 4, and if the household be too little for, what's the next words?
The lamb.
The lamb. Hello, what a difference. Let him take his neighbor and unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your account for the lamb. Do you all remember the merciful day when God shifted your comprehension about the Lord Jesus Christ from being a lamb to being, you all remember that? What's the first thing John the Baptist said when he saw the Lord? Hey, behold what? The Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. You know who does that? The Holy Spirit does that. He's the one that lets you see that lamb as not just another lamb, but as the lamb.
Amen.
But you want to hear a scary thing? If you die at that point, understanding that he is not a lamb, but that he's the lamb, You'll be in a hotter part of hell than if all you thought about him as being was the lamb. Some shall be beaten with many stripes, some shall be beaten with few stripes, the Lord said.
Yes.
Unto whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. Hello, guess what? Nobody gets to heaven for recognizing Jesus as the lamb. That's not enough. Hello. What's the next verse say? What's the next first two words of verse 5?
Your lamb
shall be without blemish. There it is. Hello. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to appropriate what was done for you. Isn't it sick to die and go to hell because you never put your faith in Christ as your Savior? You chose to hang on to some silly religious tradition, something, some personal perceived merit of your life? You have zero perceived merit.
Yes.
Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said in John 15:5. So he moves and... See, that's what happened. He's just another a lamb. both thieves seeing him like that. And then the one got under conviction and said, rebuked the other one, say, hey, look, this man's done nothing amiss. What do you think you're yelling at him? Blah, blah, blah. He recognized who he was at that point. He was the Lamb then. But that's not enough. Lord, remember me when you'll come into your kingdom. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Then the Lamb became his Lamb.
Amen.
So I hope you know that the Lamb is your Lamb.
Amen.
Not just the Lamb. That'll get you in worse trouble if you don't do anything about that.
Yes.
Well, I started out in this world, and the chances of me getting saved on paper were a joke, really. I mean, I flew over Queens, New York yesterday on a Delta flight at rooftop level almost. 7 million people. I remember one day I heard the population density, 38,000 people per square mile. I mean, it's a crowded place, New York City. I mean, Rodney Dangerfield is my favorite comedian. I wrote about him in my book. He's a Jewish comedian. I have a picture of his tombstone in L.A. Cemetery. There goes the neighborhood, amen. That's what it says. But he said they drove stolen cars in driver's ed class where he went to school. And his school was so tough when they sacked the quarterback, they go after his family next. That's what he said. I mean, it's a crazy place, man, you know. He said they used to raffle off police cars in his neighborhood. That's nuts. I had a half-brother, same father, same mother, different father. He went to Sing Sing, his name is Gregory, he went to Sing Sing prison for 3 years for shooting a man on the front steps of a police station in Brooklyn. The guy was running into the police station for protection. He had a brother that was a police officer, but he was messing around with my brother's wife, Terry, and my brother found out about it, picked up a .38 and chased him through the streets and shot him. Chased him into the police station with the smoking gun in his hand. I said, what did they do to you, Gregory? He said, they beat the blankety blank blank out of me with rubber hoses for 48 hours. He didn't say blankety blank. And while he's in Sing Sing, and somebody kills his wife, murders his wife, another guy she's floating around with, he got out of there, moved to Miami, married a Jehovah's Witness named Cookie, and then got blown away by the Miami Police Department, or else he committed suicide. It's a cloudy issue for shooting a shotgun through his next-door neighbor's front door, Cuban dude, because he wouldn't turn his music off. I mean, you know, the Bible says, they that live by the sword shall die by the sword.
Yes, sir.
But I was raised in a Catholic church. My mother was a Methodist. My father was a Catholic. My sister, Lorraine, 2 years younger than me, we were Catholic. And the most famous Roman Catholic in American history, Cardinal Francis Spellman. If you know anything about Catholicism in America, he's the number one dude. They called his office in New York City the United States Vatican, because he was so involved in high level political shenanigans there with Washington. Cardinal Spellman. His signature is stamped on my grade school diploma in 1966. He died in 67, 68, a year or two after he signed my diploma. But it's strict. I was 12 years in, eight grades in a Catholic school in Manhattan. And then my mother passed away and my father remarried. I moved to Delaware when he married a lady from Delaware. And I graduated from the largest Catholic high school in Wilmington, Salesianum High School. Joe Biden's always yelling about, I graduated from the second largest Catholic high school in Delaware, Archmere Academy. Well, in Wilmington, I graduated from Salesianum, which is the largest Catholic high school. And the only difference is we had more pedophile priests in our school than he had in his school. That's the only big difference. If you think I'm kidding, Google Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, Wilmington, Delaware. Go Google it. See if the Wilmington, Delaware Archdiocese didn't go bankrupt, paying out over $75 million to cover the lawsuits from 23 Catholic priests in Delaware. Three of them, I can show you on the internet, pictures of them, were teachers in my Catholic high school when I attended. I was trying to remember if any of them dudes had ever put the hand on my shoulder, hello, my son, like that. I was going to jump into that lawsuit. If I'm lying, may the Lord strike him dead if that idea didn't come into my mind. And my wife had to back me down already. You know, thank God for good help me. The only problem is the priest I had were chasing women. They were the Italians, Father DeLilio. I don't know if he was chasing women anymore. You know, you get people check this stuff out on the internet. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he was an Italian. He was not the funny kind of priest anyway. But, the other flakes were in the other classes. That's a real life story. That's how I grew up. Yes, sir.
About
Oh, yeah. When I was in Catholic high school, we had a, you know, the nuns and the priests torture you. It's like the Inquisition. Never changes. I'm serious. These little kids at home school think they got it rough. Give me a break. And the nuns used to torture us all the time. One of the tortures I remember were two pencils. You lay two pencils on the ground and you have to kneel on them. And stay there like for 20, 30 minutes kneeling on two pencils. Go try it sometime. I had a priest at Salesianum. His name was Father Burke. He never took a shower or bath or once a month maybe. You smelled Father Burke before you saw him. Always stubbly little white, you know, white whiskers. Smelly, stinking guy. And anyway, he was our religion teacher. If you messed up in class, you wanted this illustration, you're going to have to help me with it. If you messed up in class, I used to sit in there and watch. You messed up, he'd call you up to the front of the room. He'd take his hand and yank it around the back of the nape of your neck like this and stuff your face in his armpit and walk around like this. I know you can't believe that stuff, but why would I lie? Hey, wait a minute. How many ex-Catholics in here? Raise your hand. Anybody go to Catholic school beside me? Do you ever see those kind of things? This is the real world, friend. And they were crazy, man. They're crazy. So long story short, I'm in the Catholic school in New York, St. Stephen's of Hungary, East 82nd Street. Don Amici was a member of our parish there. He'd come up and serve Mass if an older boy wasn't there. The actor, you know, come up, take his suit off, put the little dress on, and come out and help the priest. I mean, that was how I could come up. And long story short, my mother got under Great Depression. Her mother had died, my grandfather beat her up with a shoe during a drunken brawl, gave her a concussion on her head. She eventually died from that. And my mother's depressed, misses her mother, and is trying to get a hold of her with a Ouija board. And my dad was mixed up with a lot of unsavory characters there in New York. He was a bartender in three different Irish bars. He was a bookie. He was a loan shark and all these kind of things. And anyway, my mother got depressed, and so she... One night she tried to kill me and my sister. I woke up in the middle of the night and there was a pillow over my face and she was trying to suffocate us. And I pushed her off my chest and she was a very good mother normally, but she had a lot of chemical problems. She'd drink beer, hypoglycemic, all kind of terrible chemical combinations, and she was erratic. And I jumped out of the bedroom and smelled gas all over the house. She had the oven door in the kitchen down and all the gas jets turned on. I remember... turning them off and opening up the door and running downstairs with my sister and, you know, crazy things like that. And 3 months later, though, on St. Patrick's Day in 1964, I came home from the march, hanging out in the St. Patrick's Day parade. Big deal. If your name is Grady in New York, that's the biggest thing in a year, St. Patrick's Day parade. And my mother was going to commit suicide that night. And she's in the kitchen with a glass of water. And she's taking pills and drinking these pills with a glass. I mean, jug-a-lugging the pills and drinking a glass. And she said, I said, what are you doing, Mom? She says, I love you, Billy. And I said, no, you don't. If you would, you wouldn't be doing this. That's the last conversation I had with my mother on planet Earth. Because then she just fell down on the floor in a little coma. And I grabbed her and dragged her into the kitchen, from the kitchen into the living room, and put her body up on a couch. My 9-year-old sister, she's running all around. I'm 11. And then, you know, I had never read the verse in the Bible, fear not those that can destroy your body, but can't destroy the soul. But fear those that can destroy body and soul in hell, you know. I had never read that. And listen here, Catholicism, in 12 years of Catholic school, I never with one finger touched the Catholic Bible. Touched it to see it. I wouldn't have known what King James meant. Never heard of such a thing. Didn't know what a Rheims Douay version New Catholic Bible looked like. 12 grades of strict Catholic school. They don't want you reading Mark 6 with the ever-Virgin Mary's four other sons that are listed by name and a reference to at least two of her daughters. His sisters are with us and her four sons, Jesus' four brothers. That's why you didn't have even a Catholic version of the Bible. That would even be in there. Blah, blah, blah. But I was worried about my mother being saved. And that meant being a Catholic. She was a Methodist. We knew she was, you know, she wasn't right because she wasn't a Catholic. And I'm worried about her being saved. And the way you do that is by baptizing them, Catholic baptism, pouring some stupid water on their head. Like that's going to change their salvation, right? But that's Catholicism. And so I ran into the kitchen when minutes are counting when I need to get an ambulance there. And I stalled a few moments to get her saved in my dumb Catholic thinking. because there's no way to get a Catholic priest there, and the Catholic Church would let a lay person perform that ordinance if you can't get a priest there in time. So I ran into the kitchen and got the same glass that she had been drinking downing the sleeping pills with, went back to the faucet and filled it up, and ran back into the living room where she's laying there on the couch, and I poured it over her forehead and said, "I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Dropped the glass, put a little cross in her hand that she had made, a cardboard cross with a picture of Jesus on the cross, and cut it out, real pretty thing she had, was very proud of. Stuck that right in her hand and ran downstairs to the John and Mary's candy store, which was right, this was on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, 87th Street, 1st Avenue. And I ran into the candy store, John and Mary's, where they had a payphone, called the Manhattan Rescue Squad, then hung up, called my dad at the Three Swans Bar there on 3rd Avenue, celebrating St. Patty's Day, and long story short, they took her to the hospital that night and pumped her stomach, and she died in the middle of the night. I went that night to my brother's house, the guy that went to Sing Sing for 3 years was shooting a guy in a police station, and I spent the night on the kitchen floor next to my sister Lorraine, sleeping on two mats, woke up the next morning, looked up at my brother, drinking coffee with his wife, the one that's going to get shot to death while he's in Sing Sing, and he just looks down at me and he says, "No more mommy," and went back to drinking his coffee. Now, we all have problems. Dumbest thing you'll ever do in your life is get wrapped up in yourself and think you're the only one.
Yes.
We've all have things. The point is that God uses those things in our life to prepare us for the future.
Yes.
That was life-changing experience for me. Because guess what happened after that? I didn't care about the New York Yankees anymore, the New York Mets. I just started trying to find where God was. Where'd she go?
Yes.
What's eternity all about?
Yes.
And that got me sobered overnight. 10 years later, I'm driving in traffic in Philadelphia Airport. I'm working for British Airways in air cargo sales, and I picked up a radio preacher from a local Baptist church with a 15-minute broadcast. And boy, did I get hypnotized, and God began to move on me right then. First time, and I was, he'd say, "You pull over to the side of the road." I'd pull over to the side of the road. "You to the kitchen. Pick up, put down that piece of toast." You know, I've been listening to everything he's saying. I can remember going under utility wires, you know, and messing up the reception. I'm banging on the on the dashboard, cussing because I couldn't hear Pastor Carroll explain the Bible. And listen, I give my testimony when I was pastoring up in Michigan. I give my testimony up there, and them duds, my own men in my own church, wouldn't accept my testimony because it was a Toyota. They didn't think God could speak through a Toyota speaker. But after 3 months of listening to that, I went to visit. On Sundays, I would go down to visit my fiance, who was in nursing school, in nursing college, and I couldn't go to the church up there. But one weekend, she came up to spend with me at my father's stepmother's house because she's going to have a nursing interview at a big hospital. So we went into that church in person, check it out. And we went in there, first time I'd ever been in a Baptist church. I want to hear this guy I've been listening to on the radio. Got so shook up under conviction, I was a mess, man. I was scared to death. God was killing me in there. And I come down a side aisle, right down there, come down a side aisle to come into my pew. And first time I'm in a church, I got down on one knee, crossed myself, and got up, and then went into the pew like that. My wife said, "They don't do that in the Baptist church." She has Southern Baptist background. And I got so scared, when I gave the invitation, I couldn't think of coming down there. I was so shook up. I was caught off guard, control freak kind of person, and I was out of control, and I didn't like it. But I made a deal with God right in the pew. I said, "Lord, I'm getting married in a month. We got a big wedding on our plate trying to plan. If you give me a month, I mean, as soon as that's over, I'll be back." I'm hanging over a hill like Jonathan Edwards' illustration of the spider in the fireplace, and the God's up there laughing. "He that sits in the heavens shall laugh." And Lord, cut me some mercy. And I got out of there, brother, went back to the routine of listening to the preacher on the radio again for the next month, got married a month later at a big Catholic wedding. Priest got drunk at the reception that married me, my Spanish teacher from high school, Father Schellig, a Polak, pulled his accordion out, started a conga line, playing "When the Saints Go Marching In" at the Hub Cocktail Lounge in Dover, Delaware, and all my Catholic friends were snake dancing behind me, and relatives, and my wife's Southern Baptist family from Maryland, Salisbury, Maryland, and Pocomoke City, Maryland, and going. And on the way home, I'm in the back of a limousine, and my wife gives me a wedding present on the way to the reception, on the way to the airport, leaving the reception. She gave me a big old box, shirt-sized box, and I gave her a little charm bracelet. I opened up my gift, and it was a giant print King James Bible. And that's the kind of wife your pastor's got here, and that's what God gave me. And you know, we went to Hawaii, came back from Hawaii, and the next week, and I came back on a Saturday. And carried her over to the threshold, you know, to our new apartment in Philadelphia. The friends crashed that night, booze party that night. Next morning, preacher, I said, it's time to go to church, honey. And she's glad to go. I told God I was going to get saved. And I stepped out of my bedroom, and there's my best man right there. Just recovering from a whole night of being drunk here at our apartment. And Mike the Knife, DJ Coma, Fu Manchu mustache, Cochise black long hair. And he's laying on the floor and he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church, Mike. Locked the joint up. And I stepped over him like that. And he's just laying there in shock. And out the door, we went to church. And that morning, I was just waiting for that guy to make us all uncomfortable again. You know, same old, same old. I didn't genuflect this time. And at the invitation, I came forward. And I was able to get saved like all of you, hopefully. Amen. And that's 45 years ago this August. And you could take the Catholicism and the Pope and the Vatican and all that. If you want to know where that's going, just rewatch the burning of Notre Dame Cathedral and all these stupid, hear the word stupid with a capital S, stupid Baptists on Facebook crying about Notre Dame burning down. If you want to cry about something, go research the St. Bartholomew Day Massacre in Paris. Yes. 30,000 French Huguenot Christians butchered by those Catholics.
Yes.
Don't give me that gas about Notre Dame. If you want to know where that's a picture of, read Revelation 17 and 18.
Yes.
That's going to show you the Vatican City burning up in 1 hour. Go read that sometime. Preacher,